This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
With me in studio, one of the funniest guys in America, brand new movie out, Rob Schneider. Rob, I was able to grab you from Fox and Friends bring you up. And was it my
persuasion? I had nowhere to go.
That hurts my feelings. Here I am thinking I'm a great persuader of.
No, I've always enjoyed you, Brian, so it's a pleasure. I feel like I know you, you know, because how many hours do you do a day?
Well, minimum six.
6 hours.
Yeah. And then you have fun afterwards. We got to get the Saturday show going. So one of the
Saturday
things,
too.
Because now that I thought you were a fan. You don't know Saturday's at 8 o'clock, but you're in Arizona, so it's 2 hours difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 6 o'clock. That's dinner time.
Sometimes
for you guys.
I hear you on the tape delay. Sometimes I hear I get like I'll punch it in the Tesla and I go like and it's like a month old, and I listen to it anyway.
Why is that, Eric? Why is he putting on month-long podcasts?
Yeah, Eric, what's going on with that?
Yes, that's Eric right over there. He's a genius, and that's Pete. So, Rob,
good
by the way—
people working for you.
The other thing is, which I found unique, as a comedian who's an actor, you dress up. I mean, you look the part today.
Thank you. You know, when I put this on, it's so funny because I said, because I got to work out for the new movie I'm doing, and I told the tailor, a nice Italian guy, you know, Vito, I said, hey, don't take it out because I'm going to lose weight. He said, okay, but— just in case you don't, I'm gonna leave it that way, okay?
A doubter right away. Can anyone believe in me? Is that what you're thinking, Ron?
I go, this guy knows I'm a liar. My body knows I'm a liar. He must hear that all the time. No, I'm going to lose the weight. Okay, but just in case you don't, I'm going to fix that.
Right.
I miss doing those characters. They don't let you do those anymore.
You know, so really, why?
Because anything outside, you know, I don't know. I'm part Filipino and German. I don't know what I am. And so, but they just, you know, anybody outside your, you know, it's cultural appropriation. I thought the whole point of cultures was to be appropriated. Look, give us, take this. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and have fun with it.
And have fun with it. I remember I insulted the whole country of Spain one time because I said something was paella, and I took a picture of it. And I swear 750,000 people in Spain were like, that's not the paella. It comes with rabbit and asparagus. And I don't know what the heck. So what you made was stuff on rice. And I said, okay, I'm sorry.
Now,
I give up.
Now, a couple of things, because we do know, I think it was Jill Biden that compared all Spanish people. What was it? All Spanish people to a taco?
First of all, nobody uses the word Latinx.
Right.
I've been married to my wife who's Mexican for 13 years. She's never says, you know, I'm Latinx. You know, that's just, it's insanity.
Right.
You know, so, but
well, there's so much insanity going on right now, which is why people watch you in movies. They watch.
How do they get away with it? It's only because of the graciousness of the Hispanic community that Jill Biden didn't get crucified for that.
But a couple of things. And I, this is one, like, you'll find there's a few things that I'll say and you'll go, that's genius. And here's something else that nobody has jumped on this. You know, he got less Hispanic votes than any Democrat in a long time. And Trump got more. And now they seem to be shifting more and more to the right.
Well,
do you know that Hugo Chavez is, not Hugo Chavez, but Cesar Chavez's bust is at his desk in the Oval Office? And I think that is an overt. Since when is a guy from Delaware with Cesar Chavez? That's a push like, hey,
I know.
Community, come back.
The assumption that the Latino community is going to vote just automatically for that's what happens is like they just assume that this voting block is going to continue when they're not serving those particular interest groups at all. And so, I say this to people when I'm performing, and it's true. It's like, Hispanics don't want other people coming into this country illegally. It's like, I don't want someone coming into this country, try to take the job I just took. I just took it. I just took it. Now you come to try to take it. I already took it. You know, so, but it's...
Well, you earned it.
Yes.
He earns it, he gets
it. You come here, look, the fact of the matter is we do need people to work in this country and who are willing to work hard and do jobs that other people don't want to do. Whenever I walk in someplace now, because, you know, during the whole pandemic, seeing anybody working anywhere and getting people coming back to work was incredible. So I see somebody working, I always shake their hands and say, thanks for working today.
Exactly, because a couple other things is that in New York, the front page of the New York Post today, there's something like 5,500 children that got to be worked into the New York City system, 90% of which don't speak any English at all. So you have teachers in there walk in and they can't communicate with kids in the back. These kids are – it's not their fault. But yeah. The other third graders or fourth graders, and you have kids, they come home with first grade homework because they're trying to – they have to level out the whole class, and they can't even understand these kids.
We don't understand, and we won't for a decade, the real – you know, the real problems that are going to come from what from being behind and from the emotional problems that they're going to have, how they're 2 years behind. And it's especially the poorer children have it even worse because I think, some of the numbers were, is incredible. The losses that were gained. You have like poorer families, people of color that had that their reading standards were climbing and climbing and climbing and all of a sudden dropped off the face of the earth.
Pandemic.
You know? When I saw some kids outside of Starbucks, online, I didn't see it personally, but trying to get the internet during the pandemic with their computer because they don't have it at home. So the assumption that this is just all going to take care of itself was very shameful. I mean, I think it's coming out now that everybody knows, and you talk about this, that the lockdowns were worse than don't make the cure worse than the problem.
So the other thing, Rob, so we were really good at coming up with a plan to destroy everyone's lives. Got to go home. We got to get quarantined. You got to get protected. What about a plan to get these kids caught up? What about a president of the United States or a governor that says, my problem is the grades have dropped to the people that put me in office. Their kids, their grade level has dropped. So we're going to do a massive effort. It's going to be a couple hours extra of school a day. We're going to get the extra money in the budget to maybe get a Huntington Learning Center.
Instead of
maybe give it to them to get these kids to go to extra school. Because a lot of these kids, believe it or not, miss going to school.
Maybe if the kids, maybe if the schools had a Ukrainian flag out in front of it, they would get the funding.
I'm pretty sure that with this administration.
You have to extend. We were behind before this. You have to understand, like in Europe, the school year is longer. And I do think we need to extend it. And we have to. We're going to have to throw money at the problem. And it is a problem. We need to not only catch up to where we were, where we're behind, we have to now catch up to get these kids up to where they were 2 years ago.
And I think you could enlist parents to do a lot of that. They could help out.
Absolutely.
I know that they're overstretched already. So listen, Rob is here because, number one, he hasn't said it yet or to anybody else, but he wanted to meet me. And
yes,
he also, daddy's
well, you dress very well. I go, okay, well, that's when on Gutfeld, I go, that's the only guy whose suit looks good.
Right?
Yeah, I said, Brian looks good. He obviously works out, which you need to do. Because guys can cruise in their late 40s, early 50s. You go, hey, that guy still looks really good. But you got to spend some time in the gym.
Absolutely.
You got to get in there.
I do. I have an unforgiving metabolism. Because one thing I do, I don't eat until after 12.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
So that helps.
I know.
But then when I start eating, I really start eating. But let me just get you. I just want to make sure everybody knows you're looking for a movie that you bring your family to.
Yeah,
it's here. Thank you. Daddy's Daughter Trip is in theaters, and which I think is so cool. And my son's the biggest Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler fan in particular. And he watched every show. In fact, the movie that you guys shot on Long Island, he went out and just watched the shooting of it every free moment he had. And what I think that people love is the sense of family. So you're in a movie, you bring a Sandler. Sandler's in a movie, he brings Rob. And you have Adam's wife plays your wife in this movie again.
Yeah.
Well, and then your daughter's in this. That's kind of cool.
There's a nice little scene where, because I'm such a moron in the movie and in real life, but she, we lose a place where we're living and we have to move in her friend's house. And then our daughter comes in the movie, which is my real daughter, Miranda. She walks in and she says, Mom, I can't sleep. Can I sleep with you? And she says, absolutely. And you can just see the way Adam Sandler's wife, Jackie Sandler, you can just see the way she just gets up. And you know she's done this 1,000 times.
She's a mom.
She gets up and goes to sleep. It was just such a real, like one take. That's it. We can't do any better than that.
So this is a non-actor question. When you see your daughter and you're acting and you got to act goofy and maybe without the values and ethics that you have, whatever it is, just be common. Do you see your daughter or are you channeled into a character or in a comedy? Is it different?
Well,
because you can act different characters.
Well, but at this point, because I had a really goofy wig in the movie, and she was a natural. I didn't have to give her notes. She knew what she was doing.
When you see her, what do you see? Do you see your daughter?
I do, but I you know what I see? As I already see a young actor, And I know that she's into it, and right. she loves it. And about halfway through, she understood that it was a job. Because in the beginning, she didn't. She said, okay, we're done. And I said, okay, no, no, you're done. Now daddy's turn. It's daddy has to get his side. You have to shoot. And she didn't understand that. But she
can you explain to me who doesn't know? So in other words, she does her side.
My daughter.
And then you have to do your side from the other side.
She was eight, and we would shoot her side, whatever. And then she said, okay, we're done. I'm going to leave now. And then I said, no, 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 we have to do it again, honey. And wow. So she said, well, no, but I don't want to. I just did it. And I said, no, 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 it's not that you didn't do a good job. You did great. It's just now it's daddy's turn. And so it was that stuff was the only part. But we practiced for months and months and months. Just my favorite scene in the whole movie is called the star scene. And it really is like we're sitting in the car on the side of the road because we're a broke family, doesn't have any money to take my kid on a fun spring break. So I just pretend to take her to like a water park. I take her to a car wash. You know, and so it's these kind of things. Then we go see a drive-in movie. And we're behind the fence, and we can't really hear anything. And I got Paramount was very nice to give me Jerry Lewis's a movie from Jerry Lewis. You know, Family Jewels from like the early
'60s. Wow.
And I had to pay for it, but they were nice enough to give me a break on it. But anyway, and we're just watching this thing. So and then at the end of the night, we look at these stars and we tell each other how much we love each other, and it's really beautiful because I said I love you because we practice this, you know. At her house, because we say this, you know, before she goes to sleep, I go, I love you all the way to that star and back 1,000 times. And she'd say, I love you to the end of the universe and back infinitely, to infinity. And then we just change it to, I love you all the way to my nose and to my ear and halfway back. And then she said this beautiful line that she just ad-libbed. She said, I love you all the way to my index finger, to my thumb, and they're touching. And it's just, it was so beautiful.
That is awesome.
And to see a real father and daughter, we watched Paper Moon, a little bit of it. I watched the whole thing, but my daughter, because she's eight, I wanted to see a real father. It's Ryan O'Neal and Tatum O'Neal in a movie together. And it's really magical to see.
I'd love to see that again. I remember when I was, I think I'm Tatum O'Neal's age or something like that.
She's
I remember
brilliant.
Watching it. Yeah.
But you can see the comfort level that the two of them had together.
Rob, I know you used to do in the podcast with it just goes on and on.
You have.
But I have to actually take a break.
You have to take commercials. You
right.
have to pay for this.
Right.
You have to pay for this.
But
suit.
One story's better than the next. And I'm saying, how rude do I say it if I stop the Paper Moon story? But look, we got that in. Rob Stein is here for another segment until he storms
out.
Back in a moment.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Rob Schneider's in studio. It's our privilege. If you're watching Fox Nation, Rob, I didn't tell you you're on television still. You're streaming.
Beautiful.
This is really going to make you famous. You're not going to be able to walk outside. His new movie is called Daddy's Daughter Trip. It's in theaters starting Friday, right?
Starting
just expanding
Friday.
And expanding, expanding.
We started in Arizona, and now it's going out there. And Cinemark, thank you for taking me out.
Wife co-wrote the movie, right?
Yeah, Patricia, yeah. She's great. And my buddy, your buddy now, Jamie Lisso.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he was your friend first, though. So
yeah,
for
I
the
got
record,
him first, yeah. Right? I want him back.
And he raves about you. So I want to bring you to what happened in stand-up. This girl, this woman, Ariel Elias, was on stage, and she started taking questions from the audience, and she ends up getting a beer thrown at her. Here's how it sounded.
Whoever you want to vote, I don't care who you voted for. I'm just happy we're all here together.
So you voted for Biden?
Okay. I don't know. Why does it matter?
Did.
Yeah. So what? Why does it matter?
I can just tell by your jokes you voted for Biden.
Why are we talking all right. about politics?
I can tell by the fact that you're still talking when nobody wants you to that you voted for Trump. I'll tell you the rest of that bit, and then we'll move on. I'm so insecure. I went and got an ID.
Oh my god.
Oh.
So Rob, what
happened? Who threw the beer?
The boyfriend or the husband of the guy threw a Trump supporter or whatever. She didn't like her. Threw the beer at her. She picked up and drank it. So from doing stand-up, from seeing what happened to Dave Chappelle and seeing what happened with Chris Rock, do you worry about this?
I have extra security on my shows.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Because you're always got, especially, do you talk politics at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but to get laughs. I mean, it's about getting laughs, but at the same time, you have to talk about what's happening in society. I mean, if you're a comedian of a certain age, like I am, in my 50s, you got to be influenced by Richard Pryor and George Carlin. They were commenting on what was happening in society.
Right.
And I think in any art form, whether it's if you do sculpture or whether, you know, if you're a musician, especially if you're a comedian, you have to talk about what's happening in your culture at the time. I mean, it's not about relevance. It's about, you know, it's about getting people. The only difference between artists and everybody else or good writers, which comedians should be, is that they know themselves a little bit more because they spend the time. And most people are busy. They're going to work. They're taking care of the kids. They're coming back. They're tired. You know, they're inundated with enough stuff. They're driving or they're on the bus or whatever. And so, trying to get to work, commuting. So it's that knowing yourself a little bit more and delving into it. But you do have a strain of intolerance. Like the way that comedian handled that, she wanted to have a conversation with somebody who agreed with her and saw that same echo chamber. She didn't want to have anybody. She didn't want to have any discourse.
No.
There's not about dissuasion. It's like she's willing to talk to her own people. And you learn nothing only talking to your own people. You have to have, if your ideas are good enough, hold them up to debate.
Right.
And see who can talk better. And that was just about silencing someone who was on a different political agenda than she was.
Right. And Rob, we have a short time out. Come back for another 5 minutes. Is that
okay?
Yeah. All right, great. Rob's here. Go see his movie, Daddy's Daughter Trip.
Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
This week, President Biden pardoned thousands of convicted marijuana users. And it feels like maybe he celebrated with them a little because yesterday, Biden gave a speech at a car factory and opened with this.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
Wow. Well, let me respond with two words. Jesus H. Christ. Biden was then heard criticizing reporters at the White House for shouting questions at him. Questions like, what year is it? And who's the current president?
So that's as edgy as I've heard SNL get with a Democrat,
nice,
Rob Snyder.
Kid. Well, the whole point is to make fun of whoever's in power, whether it's Democrats or whatever. I remember one time when we were making fun of the Clintons, and Julia Sweeney played the daughter. You know, what's her name? The Clinton
Chelsea.
Kid, Chelsea Clinton. And we got phone calls like from the Democratic Party. That's too much. You can't make fun of the children. You can't have the children because we put braces on her and everything. And it's like you have to make fun of the people in power. And I'm glad that they're doing it because that's what needs to happen.
But, Rob, it's not happening. I mean,
it hasn't happened. Yeah.
Do you remember? And this is, again, one of those observations that you're going to go, that Brian is really smart. Do you know when it looked like
and
Biden?
And well-dressed.
Right, thank you. Do you remember when it looked like Biden was out of it? And he was just done. Jeff Sudeikis played him when they were doing a mockery of the Democrats' debate. And he was having fun. He was making fun of him. He doesn't know what's going on. He's talking too loud. He's interrupting. Yeah. As soon as he got the nomination, they bring in a guy that just acts normal as opposed to Trump. And I'm wondering, did the SNL brass, Lorne Michaels, just say, I'm just concerned that a Republican will win or that Trump will get another term and just throw comedy into the back burner?
I think it's also a fact of, like, it really was. I mean, Dana Carvey and I were talking about this. I had to throw Dana Carvey under the bus right here. But no, but Dana said, like, when he first, his impressions are, he's the greatest impressionist we've ever had on Saturday Night Live, by far.
That was a great Biden, by the way.
And his Biden, he said, when he first started doing it, the audience was like, ooh, we can't laugh at that yet. Because it's true. Because it's like, you know, it's like seeing, like, you know, one of the deer gets hit on the side of the road or something, and just kind of, you know, jumping around, or, you know, it's just like, oh, man. Oh, you know, it's like, it's a car crash. It's like when his bike fell over.
Right.
Now, if Biden would have got up and said, Putin made that bike, it would have got a laugh, you know?
It would have.
Yeah, but so I do think there was that tendency. But you have to make fun of the people in power.
Right.
I mean, the idea that the Democrats just, you know, just manufactured this guy to run to become president because he was the least offensive of all the candidates.
And he's not Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And they scared him because Bernie couldn't win. So, Rob, how do you feel about going on social media now, doing shows like this, and coming out and say, hey, I'm a Republican.
Well, you just you have to know you're going to get the ideological barrage of moronic, you know, people saying horrible things about you. And that's okay. I don't look at it. I mean, truthfully, I mean, I don't know what the Democrats are complaining about. They have all the tech companies. They got every, they got Washington Post, New York Times. It's funny with people complaining about, like, how, like, you know, if, you know, Elon Musk buys Twitter, these billionaire having a billionaire buy this. And say, like, don't you work for the Washington Post?
Yes. Isn't that what Jeff Bezos?
Is there any irony available in your brain at all? And so, but it's like we have everything. I mean, can we not? What do conservatives have? We have one news channel and a guy that sells pillows.
Can we
have that?
On that channel.
Yeah, on that channel only.
It's the same thing.
I invented the perfect plan. My towels absorb water. Every towel absorbs water.
Right. But the thing is that we will have, like, my next guest is Tulsi Gabbard, and we'll have Democrats on. We have Harold Ford on, and people give their opinions on outnumbered. There'll be Democrats on the couch.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you look at Tucker Carlson's ratings, it can't be all. It's not all Republicans. There's rational news. There's absolutely you allow oppositional thought here, and it's not allowed.
Right.
It's not allowed on CNN.
See, I look at rational too. Is we're in an oil and gas shortage. This is my 1970s. We have enough oil and gas. Why are we not using it? Well, because of this religion called green energy.
I know.
It's a religion.
I wish it worked.
There's no rationality.
It doesn't work. I mean, there's a beautiful documentary actually produced by, like, the most leftist guy there is. He's the executive producer. I don't say he made it. It's called Planet of the Humans. Do yourself a favor, your listeners. Watch that.
Okay.
It just basically shows why green energy doesn't work. I want it to work. It doesn't work.
And that's why you have California. One of the things, it's out of – you're not going to be able to buy a car.
Yeah.
There's no more new gas stations allowed in California.
Well, you know what's crazy is that there was a great video on Twitter, of all places, where everybody was lined up for hours trying to charge their Tesla, and they couldn't do it.
Right. And Tesla's the one who supposedly built their own terminals. They still can't do it.
No, and they also – I love that the governor of California is like, hey, listen, don't charge your car. Don't charge my car.
You just told me
I had to get a car that I can't afford.
Right.
Those aren't the cheapest cars, and now I can't charge my car. So it's lunacy. There's not one part of – that's why, like, I couldn't stay in California, and I couldn't definitely stay a Democrat anymore. There's not one aspect of your life that the Democrats don't want to involve themselves in, of your life.
But according to reports, Democrats and Republicans will love Daddy's Daughter Trip. They've done
studies.
Yes,
your money's just as good. It's newly printed. If you're a liberal, we'd love to have you.
Right. It's one of these non-offensive, apolitical movies that is just for people who like families.
It's about family. It's about dreams and families and about hanging on to your dreams. And if you have nothing, you can still make something beautiful.
All right. Tulsi Gabbard's next. Rob, you've been a wonderful surprise for our audience for the last 45 minutes. Hopefully this is just the first of many appearances.
I'd love to come back.
All right. Do you think he means that? Call me, 1-866-408-7669. Back in a moment.
Want even more, Brian? Download the podcast at BrianKilmeadShow.com. Every episode, exclusive interviews on demand. More of Kilmeade coming up.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.